Good morning. I've loved stories, novels, and poetry ever since I read The Jungle Books and Tom Sawyer when I was in fourth or fifth grade. And I couldn't have articulated it then, but the feeling that reading a story or hearing a beautiful poem or the lyrics of a song, these experiences have always transported me. Stories and poetry have always held spiritual meaning for me, and they still do today. There's always more to a story or a poem or a song than just the words on the page. The words always point beyond themselves to something that I can only describe as meaning. When I got to college at the University of Montana, most of a lifetime ago, I intended to study forestry because I was fascinated by the way ecosystems worked. I had this feeling that much like a good story or a good poem, that natural systems, beautiful in their own right, also pointed beyond themselves to some cosmic meaning that I wanted to understand. So I took math, chemistry, biology, physics that freshman year, because I thought that understanding science, the materialistic cause and effect of how the world worked, would give me an understanding of the meaning that I was so hungry for, the meaning that I felt was inherent in the world. And by the way, I do still believe that science can explain a lot, but only so much. If we stop at a materialistic explanation of how life works, we're missing something very important. We're missing out on the richness of the question, what does this mean? Where does this land for me in my heart? And I think that we're missing out on maybe the most important question of all that science can't answer: how do I live a good life? How can I make the most of this miracle, the short span that I have been given on this earth? Well, incoming forestry students were required to take an elective in one of the humanities, English, philosophy, religious studies, psychology, you know, the softer fields of knowledge, at least according to the scientists. And I suppose the intention was good, to round out a liberal education, right? Or maybe it was just to get that part out of the way so that we can get down to the real work. But anyway, I signed up for Intro to English Literature, and it's no exaggeration to say that my whole outlook on life was changed. The professor was this young guy, straight out of grad school. Dr. Bill Beavis was his name. And the slight little guy, he looked exactly like a young D.H. Lawrence, and he was on fire. He truly believed that literature could save the world. He led us through Faulkner, Hemingway, Blake, Eliot, yeah, all those dead white men who comprised the canon of a liberal education. And it was studying the writings of a poet named Gary Snyder that I learned the meaning of the word ecology. The word ecos, ecology, economy, the word ecos in English comes from the Greek word oikos, which means household. Bill Beavis affirmed for me what I had always sensed from the time that I read Tom Sawyer, that great literature, literature with a capital L, held great spiritual truth and could change our lives for the better, hopefully, and that if our lives were somehow transformed, that then we could change the world. Why am I telling you all this? You might be asking yourself. Because the love of literature is one of the reasons that I started taking Christianity seriously in my 50s. And in fact, the love of literature drew me into this church and drew me towards becoming a priest. Because the Bible is great literature. It doesn't diminish the Bible in any way to say that it is great literature. In fact, that is why it is able to communicate great spiritual truths. My favorite gospel is the gospel according to Mark. It's the shortest and the oldest of the gospels, and it's written in very, very plain language. The plot moves quickly. There isn't much theologizing, and it reminds me of reading Hemingway. The plot and the dialogue propel the story, and much is left to the reader's imagination. Until recently, my least favorite gospel was John's. It's packed with theology. The story moves very slowly. For most readers, well, for me anyway, it's pretty tough going. If Mark is Hemingway, John is James Joyce. I've always been a Hemingway guy. But lately, I would say in the last year or so, I've been gaining a new respect for Mark's gospel, partly because I've been more open to the mystical side of my life and to the mystical side of our Christian tradition, because I'm coming to see my life, your lives, all of creation, as one big mystical experience. Life is not a puzzle to figure out. Neither are the scriptures. But they're a mystery to be lived into. And this attitude is allowing me to hear John and Jesus in a new way. It wasn't by reading the text that my heart was opened and my life changed. It was life that had opened my heart and given me a new appreciation for the wisdom that the Gospels were written to transmit. Maybe it's a little of both. Not sure. It's a mystery. What I've come to see is God in everything. The mind of God manifest in this material world. The breath of God animating all life, and even the water, the soil, and the rocks are alive, vibrating at a frequency that's maybe either too low or too high for us to hear with our ears most of the time. Sometimes I can feel it, and I've got a feeling that you can too. I felt it yesterday as I took my dog on my first hike up Josie's Ridge since the trails opened. And man, the earth was breathing and the sagebrush was vibrating. And the dog was running crazy. You don't have to hike up Josie's Ridge to experience this. Though, if you're able, I highly recommend it. This is an experience that is available to all of us, to everyone. That is, if we can truly inhabit our bodies and live with our hearts and our minds and all of our senses open to the vibration of the universe. The Spirit is blowing through the universe. So that's how to read John's gospel. And that's how to read all of Scripture. Minds, hearts, eyes, and ears wide open. Don't read it as an instruction manual. Read it for the spiritual truth that it was written to express. Our church year started, as it always does, in the season of Advent. And you may remember that our Advent theme was Into the Mystic. We're trying to explore what it might be like to live into the mystical experiences that our Christian tradition transmits, and to explore the mystical experiences that life, everyday normal life as a human being on planet Earth, offers us. And we were exploring the possibility that the Spirit can and will move us in mysterious ways of knowledge and understanding. I know that for some of you, it worked, and it was fun. And for some of you, it probably didn't. And I guess I'm sorry, but that's okay. We try a lot of different things here at St. John's Episcopal Church. Some of them work better than others, but we're going to keep trying. We're going to keep experimenting in new ways of exploring the life of the Spirit. Then at Christmas and through Epiphany, we examined the miracle of incarnation, God inhabiting the world in the flesh, in the person of Jesus, sharing our human nature, living and dying as one of us, which moved us into Lent and the clay jars that we are. These material bodies, animated and inspired, and that means breathed into by the Holy Spirit, by God. The breath of the Spirit breathed into each one of us as we drew our first breaths, the same breath that will leave this clay jar when I expel my last breath. And that breath will live on. And that is our Easter story, that Christ, somehow contrary to everything that science and common sense tells us, that Christ was dead and then not dead. He was resurrected into new life. His friends and others experienced him appearing to them at the empty tomb, suddenly with them in a locked room, telling them, "Don't be afraid." Walking with them on the road to Emmaus, alive. The greatest mystery of all. Our Easter story begins in the dark, as all great things do, and it moves through that first day of the week, the day of the resurrection. And today we are in the fifth Sunday of the season of Easter. You might be thinking, is he finally going to get to today's gospel? Yes, finally. So in today's reading, first let's notice that we've taken a step back in time. This conversation between Jesus and Thomas the twin, and then Philip, takes place on the night of the Last Supper, after Jesus had washed his friend's feet, after Judas had left the table to go and betray him to the religious authorities, and after Peter has said, "Jesus, I would lay down my life for you." And Jesus says, "Well, so you say. Tonight you're going to betray me three times." Pardon me. You're going to betray me three times before the dawn breaks tomorrow. And now Jesus is telling his friends, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place I am going. Let's bear in mind that Jesus always spoke in parables, and that parables always point beyond themselves to greater spiritual truths. There's a word in the original Greek that has been translated in this reading, house. In my Father's house. I'm going to take a page from Travis's playbook here and tell you that the Greek word is oikos. And it doesn't only or even primarily mean a building or a physical place. It points to relationship. Oikos means household. Interconnected people who live together and form a community and a family. Household. It is used here to describe a spiritual ecosystem. Jesus is assuring his friends on the night before he died that the reign of God is already here and yet to come. He's telling them, you know the way to inhabit God's household. I've told you about the way. Haven't you been listening? Well, Thomas, who has been listening for a long time, still doesn't understand. How can we know the way? He asks. And then Jesus says one of the most quoted, and I think that in some ways, one of the most misused quotes in all of the Gospels. And I think it's actually one of the most beautiful things he said. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He says, these are the qualities that I embody. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. And then here is the most beautiful part of this passage that always gets left out when religious people are using it in order to exclude others from the fold. He says, from now on, you do know him and have seen him. And he's referring to God. From now on. This is before the crucifixion, before the resurrection. This is Jesus in the world, in the flesh, telling the people who knew him and loved him the best that the work was already done. Where he was going was not a place. It was a relationship with God and with other people. The relationship of a parent to a child, and there is no stronger bond available to a human being than that relationship, that parent-child relationship. It is the way. It is truth. It is life. Right here on this earth, in these clay jars that are animated by the breath of the Holy Spirit, in relationship with him and with one another, we are already part of God's household. That's my experience. Science wouldn't back it because it can't be quantified. Therefore, scientists would say it can't be proven. And to that, I would answer, exactly. None of this can be proven. It's all a matter of meaning, of faith, and I believe. Jesus came to prepare us for a dwelling place, a place that is not a place, but a relationship. And I believe that God became incarnate in Jesus to teach us how to inhabit the world more deeply, more gratefully, more gracefully, more attentively. That, to me, is a spiritual life worth aspiring to know God as best we can with these limited human minds that we have at our disposal, to know Jesus as best we can with expansive hearts, to know the Spirit moving through us with every breath we take, right up to that last one, and in faith, let what comes after that last breath, well, let it be the mystery that it is. Amen.